Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
I want to dig into Matthew 8, 5 through 13. That's where we're studying today. We're in a new sermon series about taking action. We read all of what Jesus taught in the Sermon on the Mount. Now we see him starting to take action of who he is. And here's what I'm thankful for. We serve a God that heals. We serve a God that still wants to be a part of our lives. He heals our bodies physically. He heals our bodies spiritually. He heals our bodies mentally. He sets us free from addiction. We serve a God that heals. And you hear about it in Scripture. And listen, you can expect God to take action when you pray. You can expect God to take action when you call out on his name. Healing is a major focus of Jesus' ministry here while he was on earth. The Bible tells us in multiple places that everyone who came to Jesus was healed. In fact, healing is mentioned 138 times in Scripture. One-fifth of Jesus' earthly ministry was focused on healing. One of God's names mentioned in Exodus 15, 26 is, I am the Lord that heals you. So what part do we play in healing? What part do we see? Because God always works through a human conduit. I went through every New Testament miracle when we walked through breakthrough. And I looked at, okay, God, what are the similarities that we see? And every time God heals, there's always a human component. There's always somebody who is willing to be a conduit that God can use and partner with to see healing. And so when you walk into these situations where people need healing, you can trust that God can do it. And today, as we dig into the Scripture, you can see that. I'm so thankful. There's some people that say that God stopped healing in the after the book of Acts. And I'm here to tell you, we still serve a God that heals. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen people be healed. You can rely on Jesus, our healer. Why is it then normally, if we can rely on him as our healer, he's kind of the last person we go to when he needs to be the first? Because here's the thing, modern medicine, we trust in modern medicine more than we trust in God a lot of times. We go to the doctor before we go to Jesus. And I'm all for doctors, I'm all for, I'm not saying that you don't, okay? But what I'm saying is who you go to first. And I want to tell you, when you need healing in your body, when you need healing in your spirit, when you need healing in your mind, your heart, when you need healing in your body, go to Jesus first. Take it to him first. Before you go to modern medicine, before you go to the counselor, before you go, take it to him first. Find out what he wants to do with it. Let him be your healer. Because if you don't go to him, he's never going to have a chance to heal you. Take it to him first. Don't fall apart. When you get that call and your life turns upside down and you have a diagnosis, don't just fall apart in fear. Rise up in faith and say, God, I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to trust you as I walk through this. I need healing. Before you go to the doctor, before you look up your issue on WebMD, go to Jesus. I promise you, it'll put you in a better state of mind. And in modern medicine, here's what I found. There's a point where doctors only know so much. There's a point, there's a reason why they're called practicing medicine, right? There's a reason that there's a moment where doctors say there's nothing else we can do. And it's at that moment where I'm so thankful that Jesus can step in and he touches our lives. Our faith can't be in doctors or medication or anything else. Our faith has to be in him. And my question is, who do you put your faith in? Who do you trust when moments turn upside down? You might say, man, I'm great right now. But what happens when that turns upside down? Where does your faith go? And our passage of Scripture today shows such an incredible example of the kind of faith that we're talking about. Matthew 8, 5 through 13, I want to read it. It's one of my favorite stories in Scripture. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and he pleaded with him. Lord, my young servant lies in bed. Now, if you go into the Greek and you go into the original language of this manuscript, it's actually his son. The Greek word means son. A lot of translations say servant, but this is actually his son. Lord, my young son lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. How many of you know if you have a child and they're in pain and they're hurting, you get desperate pretty quick? That's where this soldier was. And you got to think about this. He was an officer, so he literally had control over men. And I mean, he was a guy who could get probably whatever he wanted. But I'm going to tell you, there's some things in life that will bring you to your knees, and that's where he was at. Jesus said right away, I will come and heal him. Do you notice that guy didn't have to beg? That guy didn't have to cry out. Literally, he said, he pleaded with Jesus, said, come and heal my son. And Jesus said, I'm there. We don't have to beg. We don't have to, All you have to do is call out on him. Call out on the name of Jesus and he shows up. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go, come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it. Now, I want to point out something because some people will say, well, is slavery, whenever you come up to this word in the Bible, I want us to be clear. This is not talking about the slavery that we think of in the 1800s and 1900s that we automatically go to. When you see this in the Bible, what it's talking about is more of an employee-employer relationship, all right? It wasn't slavery like we think of it. And so I always like to point that out. Do this, they do it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all of Israel. I mean, this was a moment that was huge. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. What Jesus was talking about right here is that the Jewish people looked down on the Gentiles. They thought that they were so much better than them. They thought that they were so much more religious than them. So when Jesus said, there's going to be Gentiles from all over the world that come and sit down and feast in the kingdom of heaven, what he was saying is, there's going to be Gentiles that will be in heaven with you. There's going to be Gentiles that are worthwhile and that they have value. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown out into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, go back home because you believed it has happened. And the young servant was healed that same hour. And so you see, there's no equation to healing. Okay, a couple of things, like I said. When you look at this, you see this was that man's son. Then you see Jesus address the issues that the Jewish people had with the Gentiles, where they literally looked down on them. And they said, that man, those Gentiles are never going to make it to heaven. And Jesus said, listen, anyone that believes in me will make it to heaven. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter where they're from. If they believe and they trust me, they're going to make it to heaven. They're going to go and they will be saved. Also, healing is not an equation or a method. It's not A plus B equals C. If it was an equation, we put our trust more in the equation than we do God. And so you can't control, like there are times when you pray and it seems like God may not be healing you right away. There are times where it takes time. There are times when God does things different than what you expected. But you have to trust him in the process, all right? But we're going to look at what the Roman soldier did to see his son healed. I also want you to notice this. What did Jesus have to do for that boy to be healed? All he had to do was speak it out. And it goes back to what we've taught you before. The power of life and death is in your tongue. You bring life or death to your situations by what you're speaking over. That's why, and you might say, man, I'm crazy, I might be, but here's what I say. Like, that's why I never want to own a disease. That's why, like, if somebody says, hey, how are your allergies? I literally will stop them and go, they're not my allergies. I'm struggling with them, but I'm not going to own it. All right? How are those diabetes going? Well, they're not mine, but I struggle with it. How's that addiction going that you have? Listen, I'm not an addict. When I'm saved, I'm a different person. I'm a new creation, and I struggle with addiction, but that addiction is not my name anymore. I don't speak that out because when we speak life over our situation, you're going to see God show up. When you speak death, that's what you can expect. The power of life and death is in the tongue. So what do you need to know? When you get into a situation that your life is turned upside down, start speaking God's truth. That's speaking life. Get into the Bible and speak every promise that you can find about the situation that you're facing. Don't let anything come out of your mouth that's going to bring death. There's some principles that I pull out of this that I think we can too. When you get in this situation, like I said, you might be sitting here, everything's fine, life is great, but what happens when life turns upside down? So I want you to have these principles. I want you to think about this as we look at this story. First of all, the Roman soldier was desperate. Romans 8:5, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, Lord, my young servant lies in bed. My son lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain. There was no plan B. There was nothing else a soldier could do than rely upon Jesus to show up. What we're desperate for determines where we put our attention, time, and focus on. What are you desperate for? Where do you put that desperation? There are people that literally get so desperate, they spend all their time looking at WebMD and running after all this different stuff when they need to start with Jesus. If you'll start there, it changes everything. Start there. Don't have a plan B, C, and D. And you can tell this soldier was desperate. Well, he came and he pleaded. Desperation moves the hand of God in our lives. What are you desperate for? And here's the thing. Desperation is not begging God. Some of us, we feel like we have to beg God to get his attention. You do not have to beg God. You're his child. You're his son. You're his daughter. You don't have to beg him. You don't have to get on your knees. And desperation looks completely different than begging God. Desperation speaks more to what we focus on, focus our attention, and what we put our trust in. Where is your trust? Because your trust is going to dictate the outcome of your situation. Where's your trust? Where's your faith? And I want to tell you something. Don't ask God to do something you don't believe he can do. Because that's doubt. And when you let doubt, I'm telling you, I've seen it in hospital rooms before. Literally where doubt enters the room and numbers start to drop. People start, like, literally get doubt out of your life. Either you know he can do it or either believe it or don't believe it. Doubt will literally stop God's moving in your life. We need to take God all of our needs too, because I know there's some people that go, well, this is just a little thing. I don't need to take God this. I can handle it on my own, right? I got this. I'm sure that soldier could have said, man, look, do you know who I am? I'm a soldier. I kill people. Like, I can handle this, right? But here's the thing. All of these little things you're trying to handle will all combine into something big that will overtake you. God cares about every single care that you have. Let me say it again. God cares about every single care that you have. And here's what the Bible tells me. Cast all. Will you say the word all? All. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. What does cast mean? It literally means, if you go back into the scripture, it literally means to throw it on him. So what cares, what concerns are you holding on to right now that you need to cast over to him? Some of us, we don't feel worthy. Well, man, God, you know what I did. You're not going to listen to me. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what your past. It doesn't matter what has happened. Your past does not dictate your future. And Jesus loves you. He cares about you, and he wants to take your needs. What happens when God doesn't show up right away? God's timing is sometimes very difficult. What happens when he doesn't show up right away? Do you give up? What happens when you prayed for something 100 times? Will you pray 101? Will you pray 102 times? Will you pray? I want to tell you, it was a couple weeks ago where I had somebody come up to me and say, listen, I prayed, and that word, like, they were in terrible back pain, had been in back pain for their whole life. They'd prayed and prayed and prayed, and I spoke that word over our church. Like, listen, pray 101 times. Come back and pray again. They came back. They hadn't prayed for months. They were completely healed right here on the spot. They walked out of here saying, man, I completely felt different. I woke up the next morning, and that pain was completely gone. Listen, if you prayed 100 times, pray 101. Don't give up. Stick around and find out what that fight has been all about. Don't give up. Keep praying. Another thing that we do is we give up when things like the word chronic comes. You're just going to have to deal with this. Well, you have chronic fibromyalgia, and you're just going to have to deal with it. You have allergies. You're just going to have to deal. When the doctors speak that over you, what I would challenge you is, I'm not giving up. I'm not going to give in to let the enemy speak that over my life. So anything that brings sickness, death, disease into your body comes from the enemy. So why sit there and take it and put up with it? Why don't we get on our knees and start saying, okay, God, I'm not taking anything that's not of you in my life. I'm not going to let a doctor speak death over me, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to believe until I get healed. Don't just sit there and accept it because the doctor said you're always going to have to deal with it. That's when you got to get on your knees and start praying and not give up till you see God move. And I think it's important to understand, you can't dictate the outcome with God. Like, God, I'm only going to trust you if you do this and if you do it my way and it happens this way. And no, like, listen, there are going to be times that you pray for people and that person dies maybe. Okay? There are going to be times that things don't always make sense in our mind. But you have to trust him enough to say, listen, God, no matter how you do this, I trust you. And listen, if you prayed for somebody and they've died, if you think about that for just a moment, no one gets out of here alive, right? We're all going to die. so that healing that you prayed for might be temporary, but we're all going to die. The biggest, most important thing is that we have salvation. That's the biggest miracle of all. Don't get mad at God if he decides to do something a little bit different than what you expected. Because I promise you, that person you prayed for that died, and they're in heaven, if they're in heaven, if they've given their lives to Jesus, they would never want to come back anyways, all right? So it's not, and that's what we read about in Scripture. We read about the fact that when we walk into heaven, we're given a new body. All of our sickness and disease are healed. So God still healed that person. It was just different than you expected, right? And so I think it's important to hold on to that and to know. Second of all, healing, and I said this earlier, but healing is not based on being worthy or unworthy. Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. He had this feeling that he wasn't worthy, but he pushed past that feeling and he asked God to do a miracle. The Roman soldier felt like many people do when it comes to asking Jesus for healing. He didn't feel worthy. If we're to be honest, there are a lot of people who don't ask God for things because they feel like they're unworthy. But the moment you become a son, the moment you become a daughter, the moment that you become grafted into his family, you are worthy. Why? It's not because of what you've done or what you haven't done. It's because Jesus got up on a cross and he died for you. And you are worthy. You're worthy to ask for those things. They ask questions like, man, how could God heal someone that has a past like mine? I promise you, your past is wiped away when you've given your life to Jesus. So you can ask him. And God, here's the thing. God does not use sickness to punish us. Okay? So don't ever buy into that. If somebody comes and says, oh, well, you know, because of what you did, look at now you're having to live this life of sin. God does not use sickness to punish us. Okay? It's not God's punishment when you're sick. Don't blame him for being sick. Because sickness, disease, death, it all came from the enemy. So if you want to go after anybody, how about we go after him? And I always tell people, the more the enemy wants to mess with me, the more I'm going to fill up heaven. So I'm going to bring 25 more people to heaven with me, right? But this Roman soldier didn't even feel like Jesus could come into his house. Part of that feeling of unworthiness could have come from the religious Jews who taught people that were not Jewish, that they weren't worthy. That could be for you. Maybe you bought that into your life where people have convinced you that you're not worthy. That same narrative, well, I'm not good enough and I'm not religious enough. I'm not looking for people who are religious. Neither is Jesus. He's looking for people that love him. People that are religious have to feel like they follow all the rules. And listen, there's no rules in the kingdom except loving God and loving people, right? You are worthy for healing. Don't let the enemy keep you from healing because you feel like you're unworthy. The Roman soldier pushed past that feeling of unworthiness and he put his faith into action. Key number three, the soldier recognized Jesus' authority. Romans 8:9, I know this because I'm under the authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go and come and they come. Why is authority important? Authority is what God gave Jesus to heal. Jesus was 100% man and 100% God. So what that shows us is it shows us as men and women, as physical beings, we have limitations. Jesus had limitations. He had to sleep. He had to eat. He had the same limitations. And so when you have the authority to walk in healing and you have the authority to walk in the kind of healing that Jesus calls us to walk in, we have that same authority. And what authority means is that we can take the same actions that we see Jesus. And in fact, Jesus said in Scripture, you're going to not only do what I did, but you're going to do even greater things. So when a friend calls and says, man, this is what's going on in my life, I want to challenge you, step up to the plate and say, I'm going to pray for healing. I'm going to believe in healing because I have the same authority that Jesus gave me to walk in that. And I can pray for that. Jesus modeled what it looked like to walk in authority for you and me. We can see miracles in our lives when we pray. And so I think that's what people say, well, of course Jesus could heal. He was Jesus. But he came and he said, listen, you're going to do even greater than what I did. And so how about we get into the game and we start praying for people, we start believing for people, we start seeing healing in their lives by just opening our mouth. Understand that authority that God's given all of us to walk. And that authority doesn't come from anybody but God himself. And that's why we partner. That's why we walk together. That's why we become that conduit. Don't ever walk away from a person who needs healing without praying for them. Don't go, oh, that's really sad. I'll be praying for you. Because you won't be praying for them if you don't do it right then and there. I think I've told you this, my Costco story. And if I have, you'll just have to play it out with me, all right? I was in Costco a couple years ago, and a lady had a migraine. And she said, "I've had a migraine for days." And I said, "Oh, well, man, that's too bad. I'll pray for you." And I walked on, and I think I ended up in, like, the Oreo aisle or something. I don't know. And the Lord said, "You're not going to pray for her. Why did you just tell her that? Get back there and do it right now." And that's exactly what I did. And from that moment forward, I said, "Listen, if somebody comes to me and needs me to pray, I'll never just say, 'Oh, I'll pray for you.' I'm going to do it right then and there." And I challenge you. Let's walk in that kind of authority. Point number four, and as we get ready to wrap up, the soldier's faith amazed Jesus. Romans 8, 10 through 13, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I have not seen faith like this in all of Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world," and we kind of dealt with this already, "from east to west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Hell is real. I'm telling you right now, heaven and hell is real. We are living in a world today that wants to minimize heaven and hell. There are people that say, "Oh, it's just a figment of your imagination." I am telling you, it is as real as I'm standing here today. And Jesus was saying, anyone that comes to me is going to have the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter where they came from. Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home, because you believed, it's happened." And the young servant was healed the same hour. I want to have faith like that Roman soldier had. I want to have faith that amazes Jesus. I want that to be said of my life. Jesus is amazed at my faith. I want you to have that kind of faith. That you can walk into situations and you can say, "God, I believe who you say you are. I believe that you can do it." How much faith do you need to see God? How much faith do you need to have to see God heal somebody? The Bible says this, because the disciples asked that same question. How much faith do you need to have to see Jesus heal you? The Bible says this, the size of a mustard seed. Some of you feel like, "Man, I could never have enough faith. How can I go?" Listen, the size of a mustard seed. Jesus said you either have faith or you don't. And if you've lost your faith, go back to the point where you lost it and find it again. Right? Because some people think, "Well, man, I just don't have enough." No, you either have it or you don't. My question is, what do you believe? Are you willing to put that faith into action? Are you willing to say, "Okay, God, I believe"? I always say this, faith is like knowing where the gym is. Belief is like actually going to work out. I know where every gym is, and I promise you I'm not there, as you can tell. All right? There's a lot of people that know about God, but they never put him into practice. They don't know, they don't put those beliefs into practice. And I challenge you, put your belief into practice. All you need is the size of a mustard seed. So stop feeling like you can't walk into situations and be the one that prays. Even for your life, for what you're walking through. And today we're going to put this into action. Because one of the things that you also see is you see people stepping out of their comfort zone that need healing and taking a step toward Jesus. That's exactly what that soldier did. He walked up to Jesus and he said, "Listen, I need you to heal my son." He pleaded with him. And I think sometimes because we don't see Jesus, we know he's there, but we don't see Jesus. We wonder, like, "God, are you really there?" This soldier knew it so strong. He said, "You don't even have to come to my house. I don't even need you physically there. All you have to do is say the word." And what that soldier understood, and as we get ready to close, what that soldier understood was everything happening in the physical realm, like physically, it has a root in the spiritual realm. So it's not the other way around. Some of us, we try to deal with things in the physical realm that are physical when you really need to battle in the supernatural. And how do you battle in the spirit realm? You partner with God and you let him fight your battles. When we fight it in the physical realm, so that sickness you think is in the physical realm, yeah, you might be sick, but I'm telling you, it's rooted in the supernatural realm. So go to the battle, get on your knees and pray. Fight the battle supernaturally, not just physically. And that's exactly what that soldier said. He said, "Jesus, I need you. Together, we're going to partner in the supernatural realm. You just have to say the word, and it's going to happen in the physical." Many of us, we fight the battle in the physical and we don't go into the supernatural realm, the spiritual realm. And we do that by praying. We do that by getting on our knees. We do that by calling out to God. We do that by standing with God. In fact, in scripture, the Bible says, listen, when you've done all you could do to stand, stand. And God fights that battle for you. Some of you, you've been trying to fight these battles on your own and you're exhausted, you're worn out, you're tired, and you're not getting anywhere. And I want to tell you, when you partner with God, that's where everything changes. And that's exactly what that soldier realized.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.